I've had to do some car work, and I've shared about that, and I won't harp probably much more on this at all, okay? Like, I'll let it sort of be where it is, but I thought might as well use it, and I thought it worked well for what I wanted to communicate today. And so how many of you have ever worked on a vehicle before and had to get, or a tractor or whatever, and had to get an old rusty bolt or nut off that... no matter how, you know, you just knew that in your own strength you couldn't get it. You had to have something to help you. That would be me, and me, right? And sometimes even that lid off the jar of pickles, sometimes it gets so tight, I know there's no way I'm getting this thing off of here. And I put a couple things on here. You'll notice that in the pictures that I have, I've got a breaker bar is what the... is in the top right, trying to get the lug nut off of that tire, which is a lot easier to use than just using something short, right? You like to kind of have that leverage that you can have. But also an impact there on the left, which is pretty nice and handy to have because you can get a real quick burst of torque on something that, you know, to help break it loose or get it set just right, tighten it. And listen to me, I'm talking like I know what I'm doing. But... and I promise you I don't, but these are some tools that really help us to make an impact. And I want to talk about making an impact for the kingdom today. And I want to do it through kind of a funny way that up front's not going to sound like it has anything to do with it, but I couldn't resist and I had to do it. And so this question is like, how can we have an impact as the church, wherever we are, every single day, okay? So like when you get up in the morning or whatever, or at night, you know, depending on what shift you work. But that question in our head as the people of God is, okay, well, how today can I make an impact for the kingdom? And I had an acronym, and I thought, well, we're talking about, you know, putting some weight on a breaker bar, trying to put some, you know, heavy weight on that to break it loose, make an impact. And I thought, oh, this will be good. Be fat. I like this. This will work, man. Now, granted, I'm not talking anything to weight. Now, some of you are laughing because you think, what? No. Here's what I want to do. So here's what it is. How in the world do we make an impact? And I want to say to us, one of the first things that's really helpful to get, and I think it's a heart thing and it's a head thing when they're together, and that is that, go to the next slide, that you're bought into a relationship with Jesus and bought into the church. Now, when I say church, I'm talking about the body of Christ, the people of God, you know, that have work to do for Jesus, okay? Like, this is our responsibility. We're the people of God. And I thought, yeah, that is really right off the top. I think, perhaps, that really needs to be that first thing. Because, do you remember what, it goes back in Deuteronomy, but Jesus restates it in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. Do you remember, what's the greatest commandment? Do you remember it with us at home? What is it? Type it in there this morning. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he says the second is like it. And what did he say? Love your neighbor, right? So the whole idea of making an impact according to God's covenant and through Christ is being bought in. You're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Are you bought in to love in the Lord, which is a way of saying, are you good? Are you bought into honoring him with your life? You either are or you're not. But I get to, like, we kind of grow in that, don't we? As we're mature, growing. I don't say mature, we're growing in Christ. But for me, when I think of this idea of being bought in, it resonated a real simple way to say, like, you own your faith. Does that make sense? Like, when we would say, You just own your faith. In other words, like, look, you know who Jesus is. Totally, you get it. You know who he is. You know what he's done for you. You know what he's done for the world. You know what he's yet to do, because Christ is returning one day. If you're on Facebook very much, or, you know, there's that sense that the Lord is coming back anytime now, you know, and maybe not. But you're bought in. You own your faith in who Jesus is, what he's done, what he's still to do. You know that he's upholding your salvation. You know that you get the privilege anytime that you want to pray. That space there where you can just engage in prayer. It's there. Nobody can stop you. Jesus invites you through your salvation to pray and to come boldly before the throne of grace, to just seek the face of God, to maybe kneel before him, sit, stand, lay prostrate before him, take a walk, you know, whatever. But you have that privilege and to be able to pray anytime that you want because of Christ. And to know that the Father welcomes you in that sense of welcoming you through Jesus. Anytime you want, you can read Scripture and trust that the Holy Spirit will guide you into the truth as you read because of what Jesus has already done for you. You know that you can reflect on God. You can meditate on the Word. Not because somebody said that's what good Christians do, but because you know that those things actually work, that you actually get to encounter God. You get to hear from God. You get to experience the presence of God through His Spirit as you engage in those things. So when I talk about being bought in, I'm like, nobody has to convince you that those things are powerful and make an impact in you. Like, you already know that. You may be learning and how to pray better, and how to maybe learn the Scriptures better, or whatever, however we might put that, okay? But you already believe it. I don't have to convince you. You can make an impact for Christ and for the kingdom, I believe, when you're bought in. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors. Sometimes I like to brag on you guys. And I know they're worshiping with us at home today, and so I'll do it again. Over the 2.5 years that I've been here, I've heard a number of your stories, and I've listened to testimonies, and I've watched how you have gone through experiences in your lives. And they've been high points, they've been low points. I've watched you celebrate, and I've watched you cry. I've rejoiced with you, and I've mourned with you. And I know from having watched so many of you and listened to so many of you as you've been writing some of your stories, okay, of course, with the Lord, but I've watched and listened that you, and can tell you from my observation, that you are bought into a relationship with Jesus. And you are bought into His bride, the church. You believe. You know the power of those two things, those two relationships with Christ and His church. And it's because you are bought in that you are in this place today, and you have come through that season you went through, and you have not been overcome. And you are still sitting here and looking forward to what is to come. And you have powerful testimonies that speak to the power of God's grace, especially in the lives of people that are bought into Him and bought into His bride, the church. And I'm proud to be your pastor. I'm proud to be part of New Hope. And I hope you are too. Now, if you're bought in, the fat part is a lot easier. I thought I'd get more laughs, but I didn't. So if you're at home, I thought I was going to get a little bit more, but I didn't get a whole lot. But anyways, that's okay. So what do I mean when I say fat? Now, this is F-A-T. I'll go ahead and give you that. So And I'm talking about this. So one is faithful. Being faithful to Jesus. Being faithful to His church. Being faithful to making disciples. When I say faithful, what I'm basically, I guess, really saying is consistency. Okay? So it's this idea of just like consistently striving to implement Christ's teachings in your life. Am I saying that you get it right every day? No. What I am saying is that consistently, day in and day out, the way you approach your day is that my heart's desire is to implement, put into practice what I've been learning. And Lord, if I mess it up today, I'm sorry. Please help me. But I'm bought into you, right? And I want to be faithful today. And I want you to see my faithfulness through my consistency to love you and love my neighbor today. And Lord, I know when I go to work today, I've got this coworker that I'm going to have to deal with. I'm going to have to listen to, or I'm going to have to work aside, whatever, on a project with, or I've got a family member, or I know when I wake up, there's this unresolved conflict with my spouse. I know that it's still going to be there today. It didn't go away. Whatever it may be, you know what I'm saying? But, Lord, today, I choose to be committed to honoring you by practicing what your word teaches me is the way that you want me to live, the way you want me to think. Take your mind, your thoughts captive in Christ. The way you think matters. Lord, that what I say today, that what rolls off my lips will bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, that it will lift up my neighbor, even if really I feel like I want to say something rude. You ever get that temptation where you just feel like you want to say something rude to somebody? Maybe at the store, or maybe at work, or family, or maybe with your spouse, you know. There's nothing like our spouses being that one place where we feel like, well, we can just say whatever comes off top of our mind, you know. And it's like, I've learned that's not right. Hallelujah, that, amen, that is not, you just don't say everything that comes across your head, right? Amen, he agreed. You be a filter, right? Use a filter. Lord, may your spirit be a filter for the words that come out of my mouth today. Lord, help me. Help me to be consistent in what I say today and in what I do. You know, in John 14, 21, Jesus said, "He who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." It's for Jesus, it was, I want you to grow and being perfected in love, right? But really, it's like, I just want you to be consistent about day in and day out. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then love your neighbor. And I get there's times where your neighbors do things that you don't appreciate, you don't like, but I want you to love them anyways. Jesus' neighbors were everybody around him, but some of those neighbors, you know, if you know the story, some of the priests and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, who kept coming against him, and they kept treating him like garbage, and they would try to trap him, and they would act mean and ugly and be spiteful to him. And he knew what they were trying to do. But he knew that it wasn't against flesh and blood that really the battle was. It was against the principalities of darkness, right? So he got that, as Paul teaches that. Like, Jesus already knew that. And he says, but you're my neighbor. And so today I choose to love you. And this is what love looks like to those who come against you. And so I think in John, he says to, you know, he says, Peter, he says, do you love me? And Peter says, straight up, man. That's Andy's version. Like, that's not the biblical version. He says, yes, Lord, I love you. You know I do. Okay, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Well, come on now. Yeah. Feed my sheep. Care for my lambs. Do you love me? Well, this is getting a little out of hand now. Lord, I'm kind of hurt. You asked me the third time. You kind of already know. I done told you twice. That's. I know, Peter, but see, I need you to understand, and I'm going to bring two points in the gospel together. But I need you to understand there's going to come a time where people are going to lead you into a place in your life that you don't want to go. And I need to know whether or not you really love me. And can you love your enemies? Can you teach them about me even though they want bad for you? Can you be faithful to me, Peter, when you don't feel like it? Can you, Peter? Can you? Can you love them? Oh, come on now, Lord, you know. Okay. Well, I'm just telling you, there's going to come a time. Let's see how you do. Oh, but by the way, I'm going to give you the power to love them. And that's the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness leads to fruitfulness in our lives. Bear fruit, okay? But I really firmly believe that faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. So in the book of Hebrews, when the writer says, let us not give up, let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's do that. To be faithful to do that day in and day out. And to let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. People of God, be faithful. Be faithful in your worship. Be faithful in your love. Be faithful in your generosity. Be faithful in your benevolence, in your giving. Be faithful to give that cup of cold water or that warm word of encouragement or the shirt to somebody who needs that or to visit the imprisoned. Just be faithful to do what you know is right. Hold on to one another. Celebrate God together. We're doing that this morning. At home, on site, we're celebrating God together. This is why we gather. It's not about you. Today's not about you. You say, well, Pastor, but I've come, it is because I come to be fed today, because if I don't get that, I can't hardly make it through the week. And I hear that, but I'm here to tell you this morning is not about you, and it's not about me. This is about God. If we are faithful to lift up God, God is faithful to lift us up. You say, but I need, I know. He'll feed your soul and lift you up. You lift Him up first, He'll lift you up. He gives grace to the humble. Lord, I humbly come in and I exalt you and I lift up your name. Lord, please lift me up that I may endure all that stands in front of me. Help me to be faithful because I'm tired. Help me to persevere because I'm exhausted. Help me to think good thoughts because I'm about to slap them. Help me to breathe, Lord, because I feel like I'm having a panic attack of anxiety with what's happening in my life. And I don't see the end of it. Lord, help me to have patience. I'm like, Pastor, you really want me to pray to have better patience? Come on now, don't ever. Well, Lord, help me by your Spirit to have the patience I need to endure what sits in front of me, that I may walk through it and I may lift up and exalt you. Pray that I have the patience to endure through the problem. He's always good to supply what you need when you need it. You know what I mean? He's a good God. You got to be faithful. You guys get it, right? You get that with me? What I'm talking about? You and I need to be faithful. And if we're faithful, we have a great opportunity to make an impact. How many of you have ever had to drive a screw into concrete before? Have you ever had to do that at home? Ever had to do that? I've had to do that before. Some of you have done that, all right? Yeah. You really need the right kind of drill to do that. You really do, right? So if you've got a nice, impact drill that can just, and if you've ever done that, if you notice that you have to faithfully apply pressure upon that drill? Because if you don't apply the pressure, what happens with that screw? Thing wants to run off on you. Like you need to faithfully apply that pressure to make an impact on your target. Come on, John, that'll preach right there, buddy. Faithfully applying pressure to the targets so that you can make an impact for the goal to which you are working towards. Come on. Kingdom work. Faithful pressure. Keep moving. Keep moving. Don't quit. Don't quit. But I can't do anymore. That's okay. We can't either. But thank you, Jesus. My strength is in the Lord, not in me. So, Lord, help me get through patiently and have a persevering spirit to get where you need me to be. I'm just going to keep applying the pressure, and I trust your spirit's the one giving me the strength. All right, that's enough of that. I rode that horse long enough. So what about this one? Being the A in fat. I'm sorry, I just can't help but keep saying that today. Because it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about at all. But I love it. It's great. And so the A is this. It is available. I love it, being available. You ever heard that term, a yes, Lord attitude? I love folks like a yes, Lord. I want you to go and do this. Yes, Lord. Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. That's available, right? Isaiah 6:8. 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel's in the temple with Eli. The Lord's speaking, doesn't realize that it's the Lord. But he ends up, takes the advice, and then when he hears the Lord again, he says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. He's like, hey, I'm available. Talk to me. I'm on the other end of the line. Just talk to me, Lord. I'm listening. Yeah, that's the best, being available. I thought, for me, as I was thinking through this, what hinders me from being available? Because I thought, if something that hinders me, then it might relate to somebody else. And I thought, well, for me, busyness can hinder a spirit of availability, right? Being available. Getting my priorities out of whack can hinder a spirit of availability. It's like, I really want to do, but the Lord really wants me to do. And so it's like, well, yeah, but I want to do this. Well, I know you do, but I want you to do this. Will you be available, right? So sometimes I get my, like, I really want to do this. And so sometimes that can be, it can distract, it can maybe derail, just for me be an issue. And my goal is really to just simply be available, that whenever the Lord needs me to say or do or to go or to help or to serve in some way, that I can say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. Like, okay, yeah, I can help out and do that. And I thought, okay, well, then what helps me then to protect that availability? And it's something I can never get away from this. I had somebody tell me this and teach. I learned this, and I just can't escape it. And it's the power of margin. So it's building margin into your schedule. Just because you have time and you can stack it with busyness doesn't mean that we have to do that. That's a choice, right? We can say no to some things so we can say yes to other things. And so I can put margin in my schedule so that I have time available, that if somebody walks in and I need to talk to them for 30 seconds or 2 minutes, I have that margin, I can do that. I haven't procrastinated so that I have to wait till the last minute and now I'm so frantic, you know, it's like, I don't have time. And it's like, you just didn't use your time wisely. So I thought, oh, that speaks to me. So perhaps being available is being wise about how we use the time we have. We protect the time we have. We don't say yes to everything in the world. Just because we can doesn't mean that we should or need to do it, or we need to watch it. Just because I can be on my phone doesn't mean I have to be on my phone. Just being available. I had a guy come up to me, I think it was last week or the week before. Yeah, you mid-40s, your mind starts to go. But he come up to me, and this person said to me, it's like, hey, I'm willing to volunteer in this ministry. I've been kind of been sitting on my heart in my head and thinking about it and talk to you. It's like, hey, I'd be willing to volunteer in this ministry. And I thought, hey, yes, that's wonderful. What I loved was what this person said next. But if you need me somewhere else, I'm available. I love it. This guy's living a life of being fat. Sorry. Couldn't help it. Couldn't. All right, that's enough of that. So being bought in, being faithful, being available, and you might see the last one coming, and it's the T, and that is teachable. Being teachable. So this, what I'm saying is being willing to learn from God and faithfully put that understanding into practice. You know, when you look at the Gospels, if you look at how Jesus was living and how he was interacting and teaching, you'll find that he would often say, different ways, it gets interpreted different ways, right? But still, it was this idea, he would say, behold, I tell you the truth. Or, he who has ears, let him hear, right? Listen. So it's like that. But the idea was when he's teaching them, he wants them to be teachable. In that case, you see that, like, even with our kids, our grandkids, you know, if they do something and you need them to learn, what do? Get their attention, settle them in, look at you, listen to you. Listen to me. I want to tell you something. Why are you doing this? Because you want to mold them. You want them to be teachable, to grow. You want to shape their character. You want to shape their decision making. You want to help shape their priorities so that they're learning. But if you don't teach them, I promise you the world will teach them. And you and I need to teach them before the world teaches them about what priorities to have and how to think about making decisions. We are that first line that helps shape our children to be teachable. They learn. Part of our culture today, and you've probably seen this, is a pride about having the answers for what befalls, whether it be politics or it be world economics or it be issues of the world. Okay, there's a lot of people. You can't miss it. Really, I mean, like that. Folks have. There's a sense of pride about saying, "Here's the problem." You know, like, here's the da da da. I'm not going to get political or get into any of that. But folks, you and I both know that is the world in which we live. We have a responsibility to be teachable first from God and to pass this on to our children and to our grandchildren so they are learning that the truth lies in God and not the voice that streams out on social media or the news or TV or whatever, right? Like, not... There could be some truth in it, but our first point of learning has got to come from God. It has always been the desire of God that the people of God would first find their truth in Him. And that what they know about God to be true would then shape the way that they not only saw God, but that they saw each other. And that they saw the world around them. And I tell you that is so relevant today, and we've seen it, because over the last year and a half, one of the experiences that churches have gone through is that, just call it like it is, right? Is that folks have made personal opinions and perspectives about what is right and allowable when it comes to health protocols, have made that more of truth than the truth of deference to your brother or sister. in doing and saying what we do and say for the good of others, regardless of whether or not I think it's something that I want to do. The farther you get from the Lord, the more that becomes seeping in. The church cannot be the community where pride takes priority over deference for others. Pride cometh before a what? Fall. We have to stand. We cannot fall. We must stand, because now is a time, as has always been, for the church to make an impact. People are hurting around us. People are struggling. People are fearful. People are still anxious. People are concerned about what lies on the horizon. People are looking for some sense that it's going to be okay. And I can't tell the world that it's going to be okay. But it's not my job. It's not the church's job. Give me my last slide. You know, the impact or a breaker bar enables you to do something you can't do on your own strength. That's why you use it. And I think the same is true of the church. That what enables us to be impactful every single day is not something that we have in our own strength, in our own sense of abilities or talents or skills. Our success is in Christ. The priority for our lives is Jesus. Do you want to make an impact in your family? I think the average person would probably say what? Like, yeah, totally. Like, I want to have a good, solid impact on my family, on my spouse, on my kids. Then I want to encourage you in this. Always keep two things in the back of your mind. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For it is by His death and His resurrection that we have been forgiven, that we have been brought into relationship with God, that we have been positioned with the power of the Holy Spirit to go out and to make an impact and be world changers. Pastor, do you mean even in a pandemic? Yeah. Even in a pandemic, especially in a pandemic. Well, I don't know how to do that safely. I get that. And I'm not here to answer that for every person. You and I have to make that decision for ourselves. But we always have to keep in our heads and in our hearts, we can make an impact. But we have to be fat. We have to be bought in to Jesus and the church and the mission of the church. I firmly believe we have to be faithful. We have to be available. And we have to be teachable. And we'll learn. We'll grow in godly wisdom. I wonder what opportunities to break free. As every single day we wake up and say, today I choose to be fat. I know. Like, it doesn't come. But you know what? It's going to stick with you. It's going to stick with you today when you leave. Bought in, faithful, available, teachable. You see, some of the greatest messages are the simplest. I'm going to stop now before it gets out of hand. I want to pray for us. I want to pray for me. I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for you this morning. Would you stand as we, as worship team comes to sing and we pray? Oh, Lord, thank you that we can laugh and have fun as we learn about how we can make an impact. And I know you want us to make an impact. Go out and make disciples. That's making an impact. But to, I think really, Lord, it feels like what I keep learning is that to really to be about making disciples, we've got to keep being bought into you and the church and your mission. You know, we've got to be faithful to you and what's in front of us and the people around us. And we've got to be available. We don't have to do all the other stuff that we may want to do. We want to first do what you and say what you need from us. We want to be available. And it would be teachable. Help us keep learning and growing. Help us to be humble and to walk in your wisdom every day. Would you please guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and help us to make an impact by being fat. I love you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Amen.